Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, life can flow.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, we're in morning session one, message two, the exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
Let's read the title for this message together.
Oh, we're working with this system.
Oh, sorry, is that too loud?
We're gonna lower this.
Okay, sorry. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read the title together. Dealing with the inward parts for the exercise of the Spirit. How about brothers? Let's read that together. Dealing with the inward parts for the exercise of the Spirit. Sisters. So this morning we want to see the dealing of the inward parts for the exercise of the Spirit. I don't know what concepts you might have or what it means to exercise the Spirit. There are so many ways for us to exercise our spirit. But one thing for sure is the Lord, He is dealing with our inward parts so that we can exercise our spirit unto godliness. Okay, let's look at the outline. How about Roman numeral 1? Brothers, read that with an exercise spirit. Amen. How about sisters?
The way to practice the Christian life and purify is to exercise ourselves unto godliness.
Amen. Let's open our Bible to 1 Timothy 4:7, and let's read that verse together. It's a very crucial verse. We want to refuse certain things, and we want to exercise unto godliness. Okay, let's read that together. But the profane and all womanish myths refuse and exercise yourself unto godliness. One more time. But the profane and all womanish myths refuse and exercise yourself unto godliness. Hallelujah. Point A says the exercise unto godliness is the exercise of our human spirit. Okay, so to avoid any confusion, I will put up on the board the target, the diagram that you've seen many times. And you should be able to draw this in your sleep, right? What's in the middle? Good. Okay, what's in the second? What is the second circle?
Soul.
Okay. I'm going to do it this way. And what's on the outside?
Body.
Body. Right. Some brothers like to draw the inner circle much bigger. That's actually a good idea. We want that to enlarge. Okay, but the outside is the body. Some brothers really exercise a lot, physical body. This is good. It is healthy. But it's limited. Limited. The sphere of your influence is just the outside of your body. This series, we're mostly talking about the exercise of the spirit. So the most central part of man. Does anyone know what is the leading mind in your soul? That's the problem with brothers. The mind is not altogether correct. Praise the Lord for the mind. How about sisters? What's another part of the soul? Oh, did you have to say that? Okay, emotion. Okay, emotion, right. Right, and what is the last part? Will, okay. Question, how do we express the Lord? Which part do we use? Anyone? Soul?
Soul.
Well, in a sense, it's all three, right? We have to be one with the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you cannot express the Lord. You can express many things, but you cannot express the Lord. You're not one spirit with the Lord. It starts from the inside. But it does work itself out. We do need a soul also to manifest something. I have two daughters. The younger one, her name is Zoe, because we are hopeful that she will be full of life. Right now, she's mostly full of other things. She's 5 years old. And so, we say, hey, Zoe, can you show us happy? You know, and she would be happy. Zoe, can you show us sad? Can you show us angry? Can you show us frightened? That one's a little harder for her, but anyway. We're all very familiar with that one when you get quizzed with a memory exercise, right? Or memorization, verse memorization. Okay, so look at point B here. The exercise of our spirit is for godliness. What is godliness? It is the manifestation of God in the flesh. Manifestation of God in the flesh. How do your classmates know that God exists? After 4 hours of debate, right? Then they know. No, not really. I don't know anyone who got argued into the church life. It is through manifestation. They just see it. And maybe at first they don't totally understand it. But eventually, they see it and they want it. And that's how they enter in. It's the same way with all of us. We see a manifestation through human beings. But not just any human being. These are definitely Christians, number one. But number two, these are brothers and sisters who have, at least to some extent, exercised themselves unto godliness. And again, this is mostly an exercise of the Spirit. It is a spiritual matter, first and primary. But the point I want to touch is Roman numeral 2. I will tell you now, the burden is on point number 3, Roman numeral 3. But I will just touch point 2 here. Let's read that together. To exercise our spirit, we must deal with the parts of our heart surrounding our spirit, our mind, emotion, will, and conscience. Okay, we won't talk about conscience just yet. That's Roman numeral 3. But we have to touch, or we have to allow the Lord to touch, the mind, the emotion, and the will. These are the parts surrounding our innermost part, our human spirit, or you can even say our mingled spirit. Okay, A says the inward parts of our being are related to the exercise of the spirit. How or why? Isn't the spirit the spirit, and the mind is something separate, and the emotions are separate, and the will is separate? Yes. But in order for your spirit to come out, in order for there to be a manifestation in your daily life of godliness, these channels all have to be cleaned out. It's like an old car. Once in a while, you got to take it in for an oil change, right? Once in a while, you got to take it in for a tune-up, okay? But actually, the way God created us is very marvelous. It's very amazing. And I'm not meaning talking about the physical parts. I'm talking about the inward parts. There's a lot of moving parts in there. You know, brothers, my mind is going 100 miles an hour. It's moving. Sisters, apparently your emotion is going 200 miles an hour. Also moving. And the will. Have you ever changed your mind? No, you never change your mind? You know, you say, oh, I'm going to be a math major. And then 2 days later, what? Physics? Maybe physics. 3 days, oh, maybe applied physics. You change your mind. There's a lot of moving parts in there. How do all these parts work together? Well, that's what we want to find out. Okay, let's read one more verse. Actually, two more verses. 2 Timothy 1. 6 and 7. How about, let's read that together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. For which cause I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. Hallelujah, for the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Hallelujah, it is our spirit. Praise the Lord, we're one spirit with the Lord. It is so good to exercise our spirit. If you don't exercise your spirit, you are wasting your time. So we have to exercise our spirit. Then as we exercise, our mind starts to get touched. Our emotions start to get touched. And our will also gets touched. Sober-mindedness, power, love, right? How do these things come out? From our spirit, from our spirit. This is the only way to live a Christian life. If you try to go from the outside in, it doesn't work. You know, you put on a suit, look real proper for the meetings, but the spirit is empty. It doesn't work so well. You're going to be frustrated. It comes from the inside out. Praise the Lord. I just have a few minutes left. And how about let's read 1, 2, 3 together, and if I have time, maybe I'll speak a little testimony. One, a spirit of power is a spirit of a subdued, submissive will. Being subdued by the Spirit and submissive to the Spirit. Two, a spirit of love is a spirit with a loving emotion. Being adjusted by the Spirit to love others. Three, a spirit of sober-mindedness is a spirit with a clear, sober mind. Being adjusted by the Spirit to be sober and clear. Amen. Amen. Well, I know that a lot of you college students, you are, living with other people, right? How many of you have a roommate? Roommate. Okay. Anyone don't have a roommate? You don't have a roommate? Okay. Just a few, right? Most of you have roommates. I also have a roommate. You don't believe me? No, her name is Katie, right? She's my wife, okay? She's my wife. But yeah, we are roommates. And as far as roommates go, she's the most interesting roommate I've ever had. Most, lovely. Most, I like to spend time with her a lot. But, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you ever felt this way before about your roommate. She can be really, really annoying. Yeah. I'm not just pretending to be annoyed. I had the experience, right? And do we have to talk about this now? Do we have to talk about it again? Again? Once is not enough. Talking doesn't solve any problems. Don't you know that? Well, anyway, what is this? What is this? This is the Lord. This is the Lord's arrangement. You have a roommate. Even if you don't have a roommate, you have people around you. You have your classmates. You have your lab mates. You have your professors. You might have your bosses. Yeah, you obviously have a family. There are a lot of people around us that the Lord placed right around us. They are there to help us. The Lord uses them many, many times to touch these things. Just right in our daily life. Don't just think that the Lord wants to touch you during the college training. He does. For sure he does. He wants to touch each of us in a very strong way. But college training is 7 days, maybe six, depending on how you count. But anyway, it's only 6 or 7 days out of 365. What about the other 51 weeks of the year? Is anything going on in here? Well, that's my main point. Is that there is something going on. The Lord is actually trying to calibrate us. He actually is touching us. A spiritual word you can say is He's dealing with us. This is in love. This is because he is merciful. He's compassionate. If I had more time, I would tell you more stories about my roommate and myself and, you know, how I get into my mind, how I get into my emotions. Yes, brothers have emotions too. And the Lord, he just has to work all the time. But don't forget the Spirit. Okay, this part can get really complicated very fast. But always return to the Spirit. Don't work from the outside in. Don't try to solve the problem right here. The solution is not there. It is in the Spirit. Oh, you want me to tell some stories? Okay. I'll tell one story. That's all I got to share. It's about my roommate, right? And, you know, I really love her. And it's even when I'm frustrated sometimes, you know, just the other day, just before the college training, this happened. You know, I was packing and trying to throw in everything in there that I need. And always I'm going to forget something, right? And I'm stressed because I don't have time and I don't want to be late. And so I'm in this frame of mind. And she says, Robert. Now, it's not what you think. She says, I like you. I'm like, what? How is this possible? I don't even like me. You like me? Okay. Yeah, okay. I believe you. It sounds very good. Yeah, she's a lovely sister. Right, lovely sister. Okay. And, but okay. So then I'm driving, right? I'm going to pick up the truck. I get a phone call. Who is it from? Guess. I say, I'm not supposed to pick up this phone. This is Illinois. You could get arrested for this. Right? So I... No. I turned it on. Okay. I've learned. I've been married over 10 years. Must be really important. This is emergency. She calls, right? So I turn it on and say, yeah? You know, she says, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Basically, do you need to talk about this and that and the other thing? And I said, no. I don't. Number one, I don't want to talk about it. Number two, it's illegal for me to talk about it right now because I'm driving. But anyway. This is my inner being, brothers and sisters. I'm showing you my failures. I'm learning from my brother Andrew. We are all like this. Oh, sorry. He doesn't have any failures. I forgot about the... Yeah. Anyway, our inner being's all messed up. It's all messed up. It takes the Lord a lot of effort, you might say, to arrange people, events, things that happen to us or in our lives. Sometimes they're hard to take, but always there's a purpose. Amen. Right? The Bible says God is faithful. Amen. He is really faithful. He wants us to be with him on the wedding day. Amen. So he's doing everything he can to help us get there. But these helps to us a lot of times is to touch these. You can say sensitive, or you can say more fine matters. It's mostly within us. Okay, it's mostly within our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. How about that? That's good. Oh, by the way, we're good. My roommate and I.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, it is so sweet. So sweet. You know, he is for us. If our God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. So our time with the Lord, every day, every morning, all day long, we should be coming to not to a God we're afraid of, but a God we love. Amen. A God that we are comfortable with. A God that we realize He wants what's best for us. So whatever the situation that comes our way, it's from God for his best for us that he could dispense and deposit himself into us. So these matters of fellowship and exercise of our spirit, or really to help us touch the Lord in a living way. Now, question. What are some ways to exercise our spirit? Calling?
Singing?
Prayer reading. Sorry? Reading. Praying. Pardon me? Confessing. Praising. Thinking? Hallelujah! Okay. If our mind, if our thinking is settled in the Spirit. Pardon me?
Life and peace.
Hallelujah. If our thinking brings us life and peace. Now, of all of those that were just mentioned, what is the... In this context, I'll put it in a certain context, what is the topmost first one? Pardon me? Okay, fellowship? Not quite. Say it louder.
Conscience.
Yeah, now you were kind of already primed to this matter. But any time I've ever gone to a group of young people that were not already realized we're fellowshipping on the conscience, and I ask the question, what is the most important exercise of the Spirit? It's never mentioned. Confession is never mentioned. The conscience is never mentioned. It's calling on the Lord. It's prayer reading. It's singing. And these are all true. But the matter of the exercise of our spirit is to touch the Lord. The calling, the singing, the prayer reading release our spirit. Release our spirit so the Lord can flow out. But to exercise our spirit is really very much a matter of our conscience before the Lord. And we need to really learn before the Lord to exercise our spirit and to have our conscience void of offense. Void of offense. When a young person comes to me or I hear of someone that says, oh, calling on the Lord is not real to me. Prayer reading is not real to me. Singing is not real to me. Reading the Bible is not real to me. Generally, when you sit down and have a little bit of fellowship, you realize a lot of things have built up on the conscience. And if our conscience, if there's layers on our conscience, we can call and shout at the top of our lungs. We usually don't touch the Lord. We may touch Him in a very brief way. So sometimes we use calling and singing and prayer reading as an excuse to try to touch the Lord, but we really don't want to deal with the real matter, which is having a conscience void of offense before the Lord. So if any time you feel that and the church life has become old, or the spiritual practices, the life practices we talk about have become old, Lord, what is between me and you? Lord, what has come in between us? Maybe I'm loving something more than I'm the Lord. Maybe my emotions are going wild. Maybe my will, I've set my will, I want this. And I want this. I may have two goals in life. Maybe there's something between me and another saint. Maybe, Paul said he exercises himself to have a conscience void of offense before God and man. A conscience void of offense before God and man. And so it's very important to have a fresh touch with the Lord, a proper touch with the Lord in the morning. And I want to give you just actually a brief testimony on the topic that Robert was on, talking about, exercising ourselves unto godliness and just having a godly living. I used to be an international business consultant. That was what my profession was before I started serving the Lord full time. And I was in a foreign country as a consultant to a particular company and helping that whole company implement a particular management process. And I was having dinner one night with the person that I mostly dealt with and somebody else. And we were just sitting around dinner. And he said this. He said, sorry. I don't take Mr. Mooney where I take other consultants.
Mr. Mooney's an honorable person. And you realize this person, he just saw Christ live down. And that's the exercise of yourself into godliness, that someone else realizes. And I never really said anything to make him, other than just the way I lived in front of him. And so we need to have a type of living before the Lord that this is how ones would be affected. They'd realize this is an honorable person. I don't take them where I would take other consultants. And we need to be those. And and in the morning, sometimes I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning there, and I'd be preparing for the day. And in my hymn, in my computer, while I was studying certain aspects of statistics, I'd have the hymns playing. So I'd be listening to the hymns and preparing for the day. And this was kind of my practice when I was on the road. Listen to the hymns, prepare for the day. And then just again, another aspect. In this particular situation, I would actually be speaking for 5 days, 8 hours a day. Talking to sometimes managers, sometimes executive staff, sometimes engineers. But it was always through translation. And so I would share a... Not share. I'd speak something of... Generally, it was some aspect of applied statistics. So I'd speak a line of applied statistics. Then the translator would translate. While the translator was translating, I was calling on the Lord. I was just calling on the Lord. Then the translator would finish, I'd speak the next sentence. And then I would just call on the Lord quietly. And then I'd speak the next sentence. So basically, at the end of the week, they got what they wanted, and I worshiped the Lord for a week. This is how it went. So in the morning, I'd be listening to the hymns and studying the material I had to present that day. Then while I was presenting, I was calling and presenting. And so this is how you worship the Lord in your spirit. This is how you carry out a practical way. We can do this. We can do this. We can take drinks of the Lord, little sips of the Lord, little sips of Jesus all day long. So as we take sips of Jesus, it keeps us in touch with him. It keeps us honest before the Lord. Keeps us right before the Lord. So this portion we're on, let's read Romans 3 together. We must deal with our conscience, the leading part of our spirit, to have a good exercise of a proper spirit. Amen. Now, I want to change this just a little bit. So, in our spirit is the conscience. Now, what else is in our spirit? Intuition. And what else? Fellowship. Now, notice the conscience is really a window to the rest of the spirit. So, if there's something on our conscience, we can't have the fellowship with the Lord we like. And we're not going to have the sense of the Lord's leading, which is our intuition. So, but if we have a clear conscience, then our fellowship with the Lord is sweet. It's our fellowship that brings us to joy. Our conscience lets the Lord in, lets the flow of life, lets the light in. We have the fellowship and the joy of the Lord with a clear conscience. And then we have a sense. What should I do? Should I study physics right now? The answer may be yes. Should I read the Bible right now? The answer may be yes. Should I go call a gospel friend and preach the gospel right now? The answer might be yes. Should I go with a brother and have fellowship? The answer might be yes. Should I go out and exercise and play frisbee with the other students? The answer might be yes. I think I've just given you five or six things you know, that the answer could be yes to. How do you know which one it is? Intuition. The sense from a clear conscience, through the joy of the fellowship of life, the intuition, we know. And we, as we live with a conscience proper before the Lord, then our mind can understand what our intuition is speaking. Our will can say amen. Our emotion can love the Lord because of the sweetness of the fellowship. But it all depends on, it starts with our conscience. And so when we're with the Lord in the morning, we need to forget about our needs, our job, our future, our circumstances. We need to forget about those things and just come to the Lord. And you know, on the cross, the Lord was smitten. Just like the rock was smitten in the Old Testament and the water flowed out. On the cross, the Lord was smitten and the water flowed out. The water of regeneration. So we've been regenerated. We have the life of the Lord in our spirit. But then, as you follow through the Old Testament, they had to dig wells for the water to flow. That's what this song was all about. Dig away, dig away, dig away. So we need to be those before the Lord and digging away. And the digging is done in His light. It's not trying to figure out what my problems are, trying to figure out. It's rather, Lord, I come before You. And we only dig as far as we have life and peace and joy. We, you know, as far as we have joy. When we have joy, then we're right with the Lord. We're right with the Lord when we have joy. But many times, we go to the Lord and we're just kind of dry and there's nothing there and we're not happy. And so we need the Lord, what's between us? What's on my conscience? And maybe the Lord will remind us of somebody we argued with. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen when I have an argument with my roommate. There is no life and peace until I say, I'm sorry. I can fight every way I want to fight. And it doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. You know, it's not the issue. It's not the issue of right or wrong. Its issue is I said something I shouldn't have said, or I said it in a way I shouldn't have said it. So, I'm sorry, honey. Forgive me for not living Christ. And there's always a sweet response. So, we need to realize, Lord, what is between us and the Lord? What is between us and somebody else? Maybe the Lord has asked us to clean up our room, and we're not doing it. These are the types of things that can get on our conscience. You know, if we just live our own will all day long, I guarantee you things have built up on your conscience. We just can't live our own will all day long because the Lord has been speaking to us. And as He speaks to us, we need to hear His still small voice and say amen to that still small voice. Amen. So there in end of Romans 9, 1, Paul speaking was his conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit. So Paul's conscience bore witness with him in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's read A together. If our conscience is wrong, our spirit will not be exercised, but will become deadened and numb. So if our conscience is wrong, our spirit will become deadened and numb. And when this happens, nothing of the church life is real. You come to the meeting, everybody else is happy and singing, and you're just kind of, oh. So we need to have this fresh touch with the Lord every day. Let's read B together. A good conscience is a conscience without offense. Okay, so Acts 24:16 says, exercise our to have a conscience void of offense before toward God and man. So before both, before God and before man. We need to have a conscience void of offense. One time at work, I said something or did something And I realized I offended someone. Now this is, you know. So I had to go apologize to this person. You know, because it was before man. So we need to take care of our relationships with man. Take care of our relationships with God. And to have that conscience void of offense. Okay, let's read two together. Whenever we sense condemnation in our conscience, we need to confess our sins before God and deal with our sins before man. Amen. Now, sins committed, things committed in private are confessed in private. Did you hear that? If we do something in private, we just confess it before the Lord in private. If we've offended one other person, then we confess that person. If we've done something in a public way, then obviously it needs to be taken care of in a public way. So don't get in your mind sometime, oh no, I did this, now I need to go tell this, that, and the other thing. You know, most of our dealings with the Lord are between us and the Lord. But we need to take care of the situation before man as well. But dealing with our conscience, okay, I'm going to, hopefully everybody has this now. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 1. Okay, verses. I want to read verse 1 John 1, 2. Let's read verse 2 together. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 5. And this message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Then verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. So in this section is the cycle of life. There is a cycle. There's life that brings us into fellowship, which brings us to light. And we'll confess, and there's the cleansing of the blood. So the blood cleanses. So it's just a cycle. The fellowship of life brings us to the light, brings us to the blood, which cleanses, and we go back around again. Now I want you to read verse 4. So, in the center of this circle is joy. So, if we're doing this cycle properly, the result should be joy. The Lord wants us to have joy. He doesn't want us to be condemned, discouraged, frustrated Christians. He wants us to have joy. But to have joy, we do need to go through this cycle. This cycle of enjoyment of the life, the fellowship, the light, and the cleansing of the blood. This will bring us to the joy. George Mueller said his primary time before the Lord in the morning is to have a happy heart. So the result of our morning time should be a happy heart. Should be joy. So as we're digging away, the result should be joy. And again, we dig away before the Lord. And digging away just means we're spending time with the Lord. Digging is always accomplished by prayer. Digging is accomplished by prayer. So we pray before the Lord. That's why the verses we read, many times you'll read a verse and the Lord will shine as we're reading the verse. Oh, I'm loving that too much. I'm wasting my time. I'm spending too much time on the internet. You know, a big one with college students is time. You know, you go through the day and you realize, oh, I've wasted time here. I've wasted time here. I did this. I did that. And so really, that's a big one. How did I use my time? Did I waste my time? Was my time used profitably? Did I redeem the time? Did I seize the moment? No, one of the brothers was sharing yesterday, redeeming the time is seizing the moment. So much of the Lord's shining might be around how we spend our time. The Lord may say, go, it's okay, you know, you may be out playing frisbee with the brothers. And you've been there for an hour, you're having a great time. The Lord says, okay, now it's time to go back and take care of the things you need to take care of back at the house. And then you might start arguing, but Lord, this is great. And I have the same struggle as I do out sometimes with frisbee with the saints too. And I say, I'll only be out there for an hour. 3 hours later. So this is our struggle. It's all our struggle. And so we need to be sensitive to the Lord of matter, particularly the matter of time. So in many ways, there's only really two main resources the Lord has given us, money and time. And as students, there's not that much money. But you still need to deal with that one. Every little bit you give to the Lord, it frees you from mammon. It frees you from the love of mammon. So even as a student, you need to pick up the practice of giving to the church, giving to the Lord's work. It will free your conscience. It will free you from loving other things. So the Lord will deal in that area. He'll deal with how you're spending your time. He'll deal with what you're loving, where your heart is. All these things can be weights on your conscience. And we need to spend time before the Lord. Lord, I'm loving this too much. And again, any prayer that starts with Lord is a good prayer. Lord, I love this too much. Lord, I give you the ground to operate in me. Lord, I give you the ground to bring the circumstances that will cause me to love you more. And he'll bring the circumstances. Okay, let's, one very good footnote I'd like you to read when you get a chance is footnote 7-3 in 1 John 7. Footnote 7-3 in 1 John 7. Very, very sweet footnote. It talks about that cycle of life and more. Okay, let's read C together. A pure conscience is a conscience purified from any mixture. One, we must be purely for God alone and for his will. And two, when we deal with our heart to make it pure and single, our heart causes our conscience to be simple, single, and pure. Okay, so Song of Songs 1b talks about the dove's eyes. Sorry, 115b. Song of Songs 115b. There talks about the dove's eyes. You know, a dove can only look at one thing at a time. Single before the Lord. And that's the way we need to be. So our time with the Lord always needs to have some element of the Word. Because if we don't have some aspect of the Word, we may start, our minds may start to wander and dig. But the Word brings us the bread of life. And out of the bread of life, as we enjoy the Lord, there's the shining. Something of the shining. So the Word brings in the shining. So we need to be in the Word. We need to be in the ministry. Read through the life study messages. One time, particularly the locality I was in, was going through some turmoil. This is quite a number of years ago now, actually a number of decades ago. But I read and read and read the life studies. I just read the life studies. This is the ministry. This is the Word opened up. The life studies open up the Word that we can enjoy them. makes the word fresh and real to us. So as we read the word and pray over the word, read and pray over the footnotes, read the life studies, this will keep us. This will, and I said this to the Lord several times. Lord, I want to pickle my brains with this ministry. Amen. During that time, I said, Lord, I want to pickle my brains with this. Means, and not everybody may know the colloquialism there. It means I want my brains to be saturated. Saturated with the ministry, with the word. And so this is what keeps us. So having a time with the Lord, a fresh time with the Lord, talking to him, having conversations with him. Another very good hymn is 255. You know, breathing out all that we have. Breathing out, breathing in. Breathing out what we have, or all the bad stuff. Breathing in Christ and his newness of life. These are the sweet things we need to do before the Lord. Okay, let's read 4 together. If we deal with all the above matters, then it will be easy for us to exercise our spirit, a free way for our spirit to be released. A free way. No, we exercised over this verse 6 many times. Life can flow. Life can flow. Hallelujah. But you know, there's verses 1-5 before you get to verse 6. Okay, so it's, you know, dig away. And dig away just means spending time, prayer. Dig away means prayer before the Lord, praying until we have joy. We dig till we have joy. Now, we may need to dig a little deeper tomorrow and a little deeper every time. It's, you know, you dig a little deeper. But we dig till we have joy, and then we thank you, Lord, for the joy. Hallelujah. Now then, like Abraham, it's good to linger a little bit. Don't say hallelujah for joy and rush off. Lord, I love you. Lord, I just linger with you a little bit. Lord, I want to spend a little extra time with you this morning. Lord, I give you the way. And so as we linger with the Lord, the joy, we have the fellowship. He may have something sweet he wants to speak to us in our intuition. He may have a sweet word to us. He may have, I want you to do this today. Or I want you to shepherd this person today. So as we spend extra time with the Lord, lingering with him. Or we may, Abraham interceded. As we're lingering with the Lord, we realize we need to intercede in this matter. But if we rush off too fast, then the Lord doesn't have an opportunity to pour his heart out to us. Remember, he spoke with Moses face to face. Moses knew his ways, everybody else knew his acts. So when we deal with our conscience and our heart till we have joy, linger with the Lord a little bit, then he can pour something of himself more into us. Maybe give us a little secret. Maybe share something about a verse we had never realized before. Maybe put a burden on us to pray for someone. Pray for something that is very much on his heart that he needs prayed for. But it comes from us having a clear, clean relationship with the Lord. So let's take, we'd like you to take maybe 3 or 4 minutes right now, just in your seat. And just quietly just talk to the Lord. Quietly just dig away in prayer. Dig away in prayer. Lord, I confess, maybe my time hasn't been so proper. Maybe my fingers have taken me to the internet where I shouldn't have taken it. You know, these are the challenges that are in life today.